Christy, we claim them as our own. They've off in ministry now, got a great ministry of their own, and just got back from Alaska, I understand. How about that? Went up and found some cool weather and left it there. Didn't bring it back. Well, we appreciated Anthony and Angie for playing there. That's the victory song, isn't it? Boy, the day will come. That's going to be reality. Amen. That's a real blessing. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of John for a little bit. Book of John, I'm going to deal a little bit with a principle that I think we take for granted some, and even though we probably know it, I want to speak to you a little bit on the subject, God told us so. Do you ever resent somebody saying, I told you so? I'm sure we've all resented somebody saying that, probably. I heard one married lady say that my mother told me he was not worthy of me. And he even told me that, and he's been proving it ever since. Told you so. We hate to hear others say that, don't we? Really, really do. But when God says it, we ought to pay attention to it. Pick it up with me in John 16. I'm not going to put much in context. We know in John 14, the Lord starts telling them that he's going to go away, his disciples, and tells them to not let their heart be troubled. And he comes on down through chapter 15 in John, telling them they ought to be fruitful, that they're the vine attached to the Lord, and they ought to be producing fruit. And then we get into chapter 16, and he says in verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now think about that a little bit. Now I know he's talking to believing Jews here, basically his disciples. He's telling them what's going to happen to them with the organized religion of Judaism. And that does happen. He even reminds them that the time will come that some will kill them thinking they're doing God a service. And actually, that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to do on the road to Damascus. But in a real prophetic sense, we live in a day and time today when we've got a religion that wants to kill us. And then so doing, they think they're doing their God a service. It says in verse 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And I'm going to stop there, because I want to deal with the point and with the principle that God does tell us. He warns us. He tells us ahead. And you know, you ought to be thankful to somebody that will warn you of trouble. Somebody that will tell you how to avoid something that's wrong. I wouldn't care if you fine-tune this thing a little bit. Something has happened to it that wasn't quite going on Wednesday night or even last Sunday. It's not real bad, but there's a little bit difference on it. Now, the difference bothers me. Amen? All right. Some of you folks don't understand that, but it's real. It's a feeling that you get about it. Now, I want to just deal with the principle a little bit and show it to you in a couple other places in the Bible. Principle that, of God with his own. Now, I'm talking about to you and I that belong to him. That he also tells us. It's not just that he warns a lost man, but he tells us. And if God wants to, and at the judgment seat, he can say to all of us, I told you so, before you tried that. Now, go with me, for instance. Go over to the little book of Amos, if you would. And if you don't find it, I'll go ahead and read it to you in chapter 3. If you get to Joel, go to your right. Hosea, go to your right to Joel, and then to Amos. And in chapter 3, I want you to notice one verse, and it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. You know what that's really telling me? It really tells me as I open God's word, if I search for it and look for it, that he's going to tell me what he's doing. Now, the Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord, but at the same time, he tells and he allows you and I to know some things. And by the way, if you are saved and you know the Bible, you know more than the educated world does tonight. I mean, the DDDs at the biggest university don't know what you know. And you, all you got to do is watch the news to see they don't know what they're talking about. Amen. I'm talking about from the highest government offices right on to, and by the way, they get their advisors from the universities, which don't know much, because they don't know the Bible, don't believe the Bible. Now, here's a principle with God that he'll tell his own. One of the best illustrations of that is the story, great story, true story of Abraham, and you could read it. If you were to read back in Genesis chapter 18, you'll find out that three men show up by surprise. Apparently, they just kind of appear in front of Abraham. And he's in the tent door, and he sees the three men. He recognizes they're not ordinary shepherds. They're not ordinary men. He goes and begins to bow to them. And you know the story, how that he fixes them some food and how they talk about the promise of what Abraham is going to be blessed with in his old age, and how that Sarah back there behind the tent door begins to laugh at the promise of having a son. You remember the story. But then as the three men get ready to go, you find that they make a statement that's quite interesting. Now, there's a lot of argument about the three. They are theophanies for sure. They're gods in the flesh. Some believe it's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Others believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ and a couple of angels. I don't know for sure. But they show up to Abraham, and as they get ready to leave, you remember how Abraham argues with them to try to save Sodom. How he starts with 50 and goes down to 10 before he keeps begging the Lord to spare Sodom. But notice down in verse 17 of Genesis 18, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Do you understand who Abraham was? He belonged to the Lord. He was the Lord's servant. And God said, I want him to know what's going to happen. That's why Abraham was begging. He knew Lot was down there. He knew that he had some relatives down there. He didn't want judgment to fall. And so he interceded for him, but he stopped too quick. He stopped with 10. I guess he thought at least Lot had won 10 souls, counting his family, but Lot hadn't. And Sodom was destroyed. You remember the story? But the point is, God said, I won't even hide it from Abraham what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to tell him ahead of time. Now, we can apply that to our day and in many things that we can look around. Now, if I tried to go through, we couldn't tonight or many nights, we could not exhaust what God has said, what he's told us. But there's a few things we can mention along, and I've done this from time to time. Let me say to you, today in the news, and tomorrow morning, the big attention will be on what the stock market's going to do, won't it? They're scared. It went up, it went down, it went up, it went down. They don't know what it's going to do. And the truth of the matter is, God has told us that the world economy is going to crash. God has told us that. The debt's too big, but God's already predicted it. If we went to Revelation chapter 6, which I went to the other night, if you wanted to flip over there to Revelation chapter 6, you have the horsemen show up as the seven seal book is open, and you have the famine horse show up, the black horse of famine. And you notice in verse 6 of chapter 6, it says, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Now, it says, see thou hurt not the oil and wine. Now, a lot of Bible students have fussed over this verse a lot. They all are in agreement. The black horse is the horse of famine. It is a time of depression, of recession and worse. It's a time that bad financial woes upon the earth. And they point out that a penny is a denarius, and that a penny was a day's wages, and you get three measures of barley for a penny. And so what they're saying here, you can't hurt the oil and the wine. That's going to be too expensive for you to deal with. And the best you're going to be able to do is take a day's wages and buy a day's worth of food, groceries. Now, that'd be tough times, but do you know there's much in the world today that's in that shape already? And I'm saying to you, God has told us there is a crash coming. You say, what's my answer? Go bury it? No. You bury it in a tin can in the backyard. When you dig it up, the can will be worth more than the paper you put in it. Truthfully. In a practical sense, what we're seeing move on the world by the shakers and the planners, they don't know they're doing what God said would happen, but they're trying to bring all the world under socialism, the worst of kind. You know, the crowds pretty well are manipulated as the leadership wants them manipulated. And if you go back into Roman history, you'll find out that the theory was in the high places that if you give the common people bread enough to eat and games enough for entertainment, they'll be happy. That's about where we're at in America right now. Just let us have enough in our stomach to enjoy the games and we'll be all right. And that's where we're at. God said it would be that way. That's where we're at. The day earning the money. Let me say this. And this is, get this little statement. We've come to the day that earning money don't entitle you to keep it. Let me try that again. Earning it does not necessarily mean you're going to be able to keep it and use it. But at the same time, those that don't earn it, but they just want it, are more likely to get it. Did you get that? Now, that's exactly what's going on right now. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, we got a crowd that thinks they ought to go free. They shouldn't have to work. They shouldn't have to push the wagon. They want to ride it and let somebody else push it. I mean, that's exactly where we're at today. And here's the cry in the news right now. The cry in the news is tax the rich. Tax the corporations. And the more they do that stupid thing, the less jobs we're going to have. And the less the economy is going to grow. Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but when I was just a kid, we'd get the funny papers. Well, we only got the paper once a week. It was the grit paper. Anybody ever remember the grit paper? Oh, I see a few old ancient hands up out there. Amen. It was kind of a country paper. I'd go to the mailbox and get it and bring it back to mother when I was just probably 4 or 5 years old. But I remember reading the funnies in it. I'd read Alley-Oop. Now, that's deep science for you. Alley-Oop rode dinosaurs around. He had a club. He turned them by hitting them on the head. Alley-Oop. That's who it was. Alley-Oop. Anyway, that's what happened to the dinosaurs, by the way. That's what happened. But in that paper was another little comic strip called Little Orphan Annie. Anybody remember Little Annie? Well, you know, she had a friend, a rich guy. If I'm remembering right, I believe they called him Starbucks. Is that right? Warbucks. Oh, boy, I'm glad somebody's helping me tonight. Warbucks. But that meant he was a rich guy, right? I thought maybe that's where Starbucks coffee or something got. Anyway, I remember one comic strip where he's walking down the street with little orphan Annie, this rich guy with a stick pin, and I mean, he was her benefactor. And this guy stepped out, I think, with a gun or something to mug him, to rob him. And this crook was he was attacking, and he was saying something like this. He was saying, "You got all that money, and you need to divide it up with the whole world." And so, Warbucks, was that it? He did some quick arithmetic. He said, "Well, if I divided all my wealth with the whole world," and he said how many the population was, and I don't remember then, but he did the arithmetic on it. And he said, when you divide it all up, that comes down to where you would only get a quarter, and he gave it to him. Now, do you get the picture? That's exactly what they're saying today, and that's just how dumb it is. And yet, that's exactly what we are being sold today. The truth of the matter is that we are a capitalistic free enterprise system, and we can only thrive when we have freedom to practice that. And the government's job is to give you protection and freedom to let you work and earn your living and do what you want to with it instead of take it from you. But you see, the timing on what I'm saying, that God's told us a crash is coming worldwide. I think we're seeing it. I don't know how long it'll take to finish off or how long it'll take to become apparent, but what's happening in America is happening all around the world. The only two I see right now that may be winning on this thing is China and Russia and all that. I understand all that, but I'm saying the timing right now follows, as it were, the white horse in Revelation 6, and it's talking about when the Antichrist comes and he puts his kingdom together. Now, what you've been seeing in the news in London, England, UK, many are worrying that it may spread to America. That's the rioting in the streets. And you know what the next step would be? It would be martial law. And then socialism comes in without you even voting it in, which has come in without us doing that anyway. But it comes in under martial law by dictatorship. Now, God said, I told you, if you got your trust in money, if you got your trust in wealth, it's going to wash out. It's going to crash. And God is saying, I told you so. Now, I'll tell you something else God has told us we see happening, and that is not only the crash of the world economy, but we're seeing the collapse of family, of the family unit, of the home. I look over in Luke chapter 21, and I pick it up in about verse 16. If you can turn to it quickly, look at it. It says, and you shall be betrayed, Jesus talking now, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Now, we're talking about a family being dissolved. We're talking about what we have seen and are seeing today, where it's kids against parents, parents against kids. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The family unit used to be the strength of our country. And now, look at it. God foretold this to us. Used to, under communism, they trained the kids to spy on the parents. Do you know we're there today? Do you know the phone numbers are being flashed on the TV? Do you know if there's any one thing today you better watch out for, it's this. You better watch out that the law gets reversed if your child accuses you. Now, you may not like that, but you hear me again. Here's what I'm saying. The law is supposed to be that you're innocent till proven guilty. But you let a child accuse you, you are guilty immediately, and you've got to prove yourself innocent. And it's hard to do. Now, I'm against all kind of forms of child abuse and that crowd today and kiddie porn and all the rest of it. I think we ought to be put under jail or worse. But at the same time, we've moved to a place that we've let our kids be so raised on the TV and so brainwashed till if they don't like being told no, all they got to do is call and accuse. And that's going on, folks. Is it any surprise that kids rebel and accuse, and even falsely so, when they've been raised on the rock culture? You say, well, the TV's going to babysit my kids, and they're going to watch this, and they're going to watch that. You better be careful, because that kid's going to grow up just exactly as you're training them. And those things that influence them at 4 years old is going to show up at 14, and you're going to be affected by it. We look around and see that in America today. Family, let me give you something else. As the family fails, family failure sets up a void that the government steps in to fill. Let me give you this. Understand that. As a family, daddy and mama's duty is to feed kids, to clothe kids, to protect kids, to raise them the right way. And when you fail on that, the government's going to step in and do it. And when they do, they're going to come nearer owning your kids than you do. Now, it's as simple as that. I'm not against feeding poor kids. But I am to the place that parents forsake their duty and let the government do it. I'm not against some free lunches for poor kids, but you know we've moved to the place now we feed them summer and when school's out as well as when it's in. Where is mom and daddy? Where is the ones that's supposed to be taking care of the kids? I mean, the government is going to take command when you back up on your duty. And we look around and see it happening. We see it happening. You know, politics, now everywhere you look, government increases regulations. Regulations choke free enterprise. Capitalism can only work, I said it a while ago, under a free society. Because as you go into business for yourself, unless you can earn and keep, you can't stay in business. It's as simple as that. I get sick right here in our county just reading the newspaper. Every time I turn around, they're trying to figure another way to get another tax or something or another charge. Not only the county, but the city is doing the same thing. And folks, that's negative on free America. That's not what we were raised up under. I saw right here in the paper, I saw just a few days ago where it was approached that they would be getting a permit or bringing a charge or making some rules and regulations concerning green, quote, energy. Now, this green thing is all out of whack. But listen, let me tell you what that means. Now, we've heard it pushed from Washington on down. Green energy, you know, get away from the dirty fuel, all that joke. By the way, do you know that America right now in Alaska and other places has enough fuel? If we would drill, we could live for 10,000 years without going over and bowing down to a bunch of Arabs and paying all that money to them. What's keeping us from it? Extreme, stupid environmentalists. That's made it the political thing. That's what it boils down to. What I saw right here in the county was that if I decide, this is the way I interpret what they were saying, watch it, it's coming. If I went out in my backyard and put me up a windmill and put me a generator on it and let the wind turn the generator, produce the energy, set me some batteries there, catch the energy, put the batteries in my golf cart, and go down the road. I'm going down free. But they're going to license me for that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, better than that, and this will blow your mind, if I go in the backyard and build me a white lightning steel, and I get me some corn mash or decide to make it out of something else, maybe lily pads out of the lake or something, it'll work. And I make me some alcohol and I put it in old Jesse and go down the road, they're going to get me for that. Now, wait a minute. I didn't make it to drink. In fact, if you drink it, it'll kill you. I made it what, by the way, hey, I used to drive race cars or run them off alcohol, not the kind you drink. You put the drinking kind in, it's got sugar in it, it'll ruin your motor. But you put in the straight stuff, you don't want to drink that stuff. But it'll make that motor run. By the way, you're getting 10% of that or worse in your gas now. All a bunch of trouble. But anyway, all I'm saying is they're not going to let you be energy independent. They're going to charge you for that. You're going to have to get permitted. Free enterprise no longer is what free enterprise used to be in America. And that's a bad deal, folks. We've seen the liberal warfare going on through the liberal media. It is it's amazing the brainwashing that's going on. Just the brainwashing that's happening. Middle school in Russellville, Arkansas, yearbook. Now, schools put out yearbooks. We do here with our Christian school. Now, if you don't think there's a brainwashing going on, in the yearbook in Russellville, Arkansas, they had a list of the world's worst men. They had Hitler at the top. I believe they had Genghis Khan and Nero, and then they had George Bush and Cheney. Now, I'll tell you, you might not have liked them, but that is brainwashing to put them in a category with Hitler and Genghis Khan and Nero. That's ridiculous. Somebody is trying to pull a number Somebody is dealing wrong. Now, I want to say this. God said, I told you so. Said, I told you the crash on the economy was coming. I told you the collapse of the family and how bad that was going to be. And we're there. I mean, I could turn over to Luke 21 there and read it, other places. And we see that. We see that happening. But I want to say probably something worse than that is not only the crash of the world economy or the collapse of the family, but the confusion of gods. Understand what I'm saying? You know, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods, plural, before me. Now, Satan's biggest trick is diversity. His biggest trick is diversion to keep you from the Lord God Jehovah. Do you understand that Satan don't care what God you put in the real God's place, long as you have a substitute? That's all he wants. And so the commandment to not have idols, Satan's trick is misdirection. Any football coach can tell you one of the best plays to throw the other side off is if you can reverse the action. If you can have the misdirection play, that'll do it. Satan uses man's inner knowledge. Man's inner knowledge, I don't care if he's in the jungle, I don't care if he's heathen, whatever. Man's inner knowledge is to know there's a creator, to know there's a God. Satan can't deny that. Satan's biggest trick is not trying to make atheists out of people. It's trying to get them to follow a wrong God. See, that's the way the thing works. Man knows there's a God, but Satan says, okay, let me give you a substitute. And he's happy with any substitute that he can put in his place. And what we're looking at today is we're seeing even our own people in America are trying to get us to have substitute gods. I mean, listen, this attitude of saying, let's respect Islam. Respect them for what? For cutting off people's heads? I mean, I got no respect for that. Now listen to me. I got respect for hardworking men. I got respect for men may not even be Christians out here that live and take care of their family. I got respect for men that have grown old, being good Americans, whether they ever got saved or not. I can still respect them, but I can't respect a false religion that's taking souls to hell. Cannot respect that. Will not respect it. You see, the movers and the shakers say that religion is the opium of the people. We got to give them something, but let's just don't give them the real thing. You know what's feared in America by those that won't put in the one world government? Fundamental Bible believing Christians. That's who they fear. They fear you and I. And they attack you and I. So if they take another substitute, be it Islam or something else, they're happy to take that, long as they can put genuine, real Christianity down. That's what's going on, folks. Now, all they want is just have the people peaceful, give them some bread, give them some sports to follow, and make them happy. But we've got a false religion of the devil that's trying to set up a kingdom, a caliphate. They had it before. They almost took Europe before, and they got fought back. Now they're taking it in a different way. You see it on the news. See it on the news, and they're taking it in America also. It's gaining in America. They are now worried about, and it'll happen, you watch it. They're worried about them planting surgically bombs inside of human bodies to get them on the airplanes. And you say that nobody do that. Well, hey, what's the difference? What's the difference in strapping it on and just having it implanted? Because they're going to die anyway when the thing goes off. But they feel like if they die as a martyr, they're going to their Muslim heaven. So they don't. It's an awful thing, but it is. They're worried about it now. It is going to happen. But guess what we're doing in America? We're trying to train our kids. We're trying some of the big liberal churches in America right now are having interfaith services. Do you hear what? Interfaith. right in Washington, D.C., on June 26th, the National Cathedral in D.C. had an interfaith service. 75 of other so-called churches also had an interfaith circle service. Now, here's what they did. They all read from the Quran, and in many cases, they swapped pulpits. So the imam, the Muslim preacher, come in and stood in the, quote, Christian pulpit. Hey, in June, just recently. That's what's going on right now, the interfaith services. And police captain out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just got suspended because his police department was ordered to bring in this imam, this Muslim cleric, this Muslim preacher, and the police were going to have to, and they did, have to go take classes and be taught Islam so they could respect it. And this captain said he wouldn't do it, so he got suspended. Hey, that's the political correctness. That's the deception of the devil. That's bringing in the substitute religion. That's the confusion of gods that I'm talking about in America. Al-Qaeda just put out a video. That video encouraged those followers to attack Christian churches, evangelical churches, and that's a big category. It'd be talking about churches like us and others that would stand for the Word of God, stand for something. I'm talking to you about a confusion of gods. Did God tell us so? Well, the very first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I mean, the deception of the devil is big time today. And we look around in the Bible and we see where Israel got into Baal worship and God's judgment fell, didn't it? Sure did. And I want to say America can't get by with going after false gods, trying to make them equal with the Lord God Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ. No way is God going to let us get by with that. No way. I tell you what's important. I would love to see, and I'd love to see some more time bought. I'd love to see America wake up. I really would. I hate to see our grandkids enslaved to Islam. I hate to see the Western style of life and the free worship we have and the free enterprise system and all that. I hate to see it go down the drain. But if we continue like we are, it's not going to be long before it happens. Tragic results will come. Trusting the wrong philosophy. See, Satan is of this opinion, any God but the real God. Do you understand? Having all the gods you want leaves you without a God. God will not share his glory with the false gods of Satan in this world. Missionaries go over to India and they got gods on every shelf. The cow's a God, the elephant's a God, the monkey's a God, all that business. And you tell them about Jesus, well, they're just as glad to take him and set him up there equal with their gods. But that don't work. No, God's a jealous God, the Bible says. He doesn't share his glory with the false gods. And I say to you, the truth is today, that's exactly what's being pressured and put on America. Hey, folks, this war with Islam, for instance, did not start just at 9/11. It was already going on hundreds of years before. A lot of folks ought to do a little history search on Islam. Islam was trying to conquer the West, and God raised up somebody to stop them. Do you understand how America got discovered? You say, well, Columbus. Well, let's see. Why was Columbus trying to find? He wasn't trying to find America. He was trying to find a trade route around to get to India. You know why he was trying to go around on the ocean? Around the world to find India, because Islam had taken Constantinople and Islam had cut off the silk routes and the trade routes to the east. And so when Columbus was trying to find a new trade route, so if you want to thank Islam for anything, thank them for forcing Columbus to find America. You know why he called the natives he found in America Indians? He thought he'd found India. Amen. But I'm saying to you, the war was going on way back then. You know how our Marines got started? Because of the Muslim pirates. The same ones that are stealing the ships today and doing all they're doing today. And the Marine fight song, the halls of Tripoli, shores of Tripoli, halls of Montezumari to the shores of Tripoli, the fight song of the Marines. Thomas Jefferson got the Marines started to go over there and protect our trade ships from the Muslim pirates. And hey, by the way, in those days they could carry guns. We come to a day and time, no one of the pirates can take them. They won't allow them to have guns on the ship. I wouldn't be on one without it, I'll tell you that. But anyway, no, I'm simply saying to you, God said, I told you so. It's happening. It's happening. Now, we could go on down the list for a long time. But the good part is that God did tell us, told us ahead. He said, I won't hide what I'm going to do from Abraham. He said over there in Amos, I won't do anything without revealing it through the prophets. So you know what that does? That allows you and I to be warned and therefore forearmed to fight as long as we can to preserve America and the freedoms we have for our kids, and to stand for what's right and not be ashamed of it and not be zip-lipped when it comes to witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to try to pretend everybody's serving the same God. Oh, no, they're not. And the devil has really pulled that trick, this days of deception. And it's bad. It's bad. Because what you put your trust in, if it fails you, that's your destruction. I read the story a long time ago about one of these guys, and every now and then you see one show up in the news. He generally gets arrested. But years ago, when they started and got some of the big skyscrapers built, like Empire State Building and so forth, every now and then there'd be some acrobatic man that would draw a crowd by climbing one of those buildings. And there was a guy called, for a long time, called the Human Spider. And he would go and a crowd would gather and he would climb one of those tall buildings. The crowd would look and watch. And they'd ooh and ah. And he was in his glory to climb one of those buildings. And in those days, they didn't arrest him like they do now. And this guy, one day, the crowd watching him, he was climbing a building. He'd catch a little ledge with his fingers. He'd catch a little crevice with his toes. And he'd slowly go up the building. And finally he got to where it looked like he was in a few feet of the top. And it looked like he was searching around for one more handhold, just one more hope to make it. And finally the folks looked and it looked like a little gray, knobby ledge on the concrete that he finally settled on. And he reached for it and to pull himself up, but when he did, he fell all the way to the bottom and killed himself. When they got to him, when the crowd got to him, they opened his hand. And in his hand was a big, big lump of gray spider web. And the Human Spider died because he thought the spider web was a projection of concrete. It was false. It deceived him. And he fell to his death. Somebody said, don't matter what God you worship. Yes, it does. Because your soul is trusting that. If it's false, you're going to fall. And you look around today and how many deceive people. Hey, the challenge to you and I as God's people is to get the truth out as we know it from the Word of God. Tell those what they can trust in. The Lord Jesus Christ that loved them and died for them. That they can trust Him. And He'll never let them down. Oh, listen. Wonderful truth is we know the truth. God's told us this stuff. He didn't give us a book that doesn't warn us. Truly, God is the only one that's going to have the final right to say, I told you so. I told you so. You can apply that every way you want to in your Christian life, in the standards you hold, young people, in the dating that you carry on, everything else. Just remember, God told you so. He gives you the warning. He tells you the right way to go. Trust Him. He'll never let you down. Trust Him first with your soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. Are you trusting Him and Him alone? Look out. The world wants to give you a counterfeit. Look out. God's told you what the truth is. Let's stand, please. Father, we thank you for the Word of God.